Good evening. My name's Drew Green from 738 Southwest Drive. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all these papers tonight. I was up here 2 weeks ago talking about the ordinance referring to the sale, or not sale, the transfer of fee money from MMU to the city for economic development. And unfortunately, I had to leave, but a few of you made some comments about that after I left that I read in the paper. So I kind of wanted to go through some of that. Bear in mind, you guys have said we've been at this for 6 months, and so there's a lot of information here, and I don't really want to go through it all again, but it's hard to not diverge into some of this and kind of let the city people know what I found in my 2 weeks of research here. So one of the question I asked was, first, since MPUA came in here, and on March 4th, I believe, they presented to the MMU board, and March 7th, I believe, or something like that, they presented before the city council. My question was, since then, has any council member sat down with MMU and discussed the things that MPUA said MMU was deficient in, and things they needed to get in order before passing some ordinance that puts financial burden on them? According to the paper, nobody had, but Mr. Brandt, you said that I know we had discussed, or we had a presentation about, that this was talked about. They got a survey that's come in, but I know we first discussed this item. I believe it was October 14th of last year. We sat in here with the council and the board, and at that point, they felt there was a consensus that it's something they wanted to move forward with. And then you talk about the draft ordinance and some feedback, and you've come off some numbers, but I didn't really ask about October 14th. I was asking about, since MPUA came in and gave their survey and gave their findings, have you sat down with the board? Because I know from my research that the board has been telling you that this is going to financially hurt them. And every one of you have said, we're not here to hurt them. Then listen to them. Okay? So before we get into research and facts, I want to talk about this consensus. And let's just take a step back and look at reasonableness. You've been at this for 6 months by your own admission, 5.5 then, it's been 2 more weeks. Is it reasonable to believe that it takes 6 months to pass something that we're all in consensus on? Don't think so. And you've actually been at this longer than that, because you started out with an admin fee, which was an utter disaster. They disagreed with it wholeheartedly. Then it didn't pass. And now we've wrapped it into a different package called an economic development fee. Okay? And the admin fee was 0.5%. This one's 1.5%. I realize the ordinance says 0.5%, but it also says that you guys can take 1 more % without any vote from any board or anybody. So let's just say it's 1.5%. Here's an email from General Manager Jeff Bergstrom that you guys received in your packet from the last meeting. So I know you all saw this. And it was on March 21st. It says here, JD, he sent it to JD. He said, all board members indicated that they would like to have time to determine what MMU can do without negatively affecting its financial solvency. They all want to help. There's your consensus. They want to help. But also want to make sure the utility is not harmed in the process. The ordinance as written, Mr. Bergstrom's words, does not consider the financial health of MMU before or after any monies are transferred. The board would like time to develop policies for reserve capital improvement, which is what MPUA suggested. They also suggested, I interject, that each one of their utilities needs to stand on their own before passing something that's going to affect every one of them. And I can tell you from talking to the controller, Tony Bersano, they don't currently. Electric company has been, or the electric utility has been losing over $30,000 a month for the last 3 to 6 months, and maybe even longer, we'd have to ask them. But I'm telling you, it's going to hurt them. They need to protect the financial health of MMU before making any financial commitment. I also received feedback that economic development fund made up of MMU ratepayer monies should be kept at MMU. Councilwoman Wright brought that up. Why can't we leave it at MMU? We'll get to that in a minute. Does that sound like a consensus to anybody? After 6 months, Any consensus? It doesn't sound like it to me. And that's one email of the stack of papers I have. And you're pushing forward. Anyway. February 3rd minutes, Jeff and Tony. You said October 14th. February 3rd minutes, Jeff and Tony. You mentioned this is the first we've heard of it from council. Why? October 14th to February 3rd. He actually said in that email, we don't know what was going on in the last meetings. Well, why not? Well, the answer to that is because there was an email that went to Ken, the president, that said, you don't want him there. I'm not making this stuff up. You didn't want the general manager and the controller at a meeting talking about taking money from MMU. Then there's a draft ordinance. You've come off your numbers. Well, no, there's a meeting that talks about Lebanon's ordinance of 1%. That's what was expected after the meeting. Our ordinance is 1.5%. And we can debate 0.5% plus the 1%. It's even worse than that because then it says you have to ask the board, but you can go. So we're at 1.5%. So, but the emails, here's what the board members were asking for since February 3rd, okay? They're waiting on a peer review from NPUA. We got that. Doesn't seem like any of you cared. Mr. Mayor, after they presented to NPUA, you actually approached Tony Bersano and said, you guys can't afford this, can you? Tony said, no. That's what we've been telling you for months. And here we are still. It amazes me. Chuck Hines wrote, he said in that February 3rd email, what kind of account would this be put in? Would it go into a special account? Or the general fund account? Mr. Aarons replied that it would be a subset of a general fund account. We'll get back to that. Mr. Bergstrom, he said, I would like to see, and he's been saying this from the beginning with all my emails, by the way, I want to first see a formula based on what type of financial year MMU has. The way it's set up now, you just take the money. You don't care if they lost money that year or not. It just takes it. The ordinance doesn't care. Versus a set percentage, he wants to know it's based on the financial year they have. If they can help, they can. If they can't, we don't want them to go broke. Okay? And they need to know if there's any unexpected events that might come up. What if a tornado comes and tears down all these light poles or telephone poles? They're pretty expensive, aren't they, Mr. Bergstrom? Yeah. But you're going to take your money regardless if they need to do something like that. Mr. Hines asked for a draft. To start discussions, everybody agreed. Mr. Brandt added a second point. To define the parameters of what economic development is and make sure the board is comfortable where the money would go. I'll go ahead and preface that. Eventually, Mr. Bergstrom got an email from Mayor Sweets at the time that says, you have no right to ask what economic development is. And I'm paraphrasing. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. Unbelievable. Then we get the draft ordinance. March 3rd from Mayor Sweets, where she basically says, none of the issues raised will go into the ordinance. You guys didn't put any of the issues that Mr. Bergson raised into the ordinance. March 9th, the email where Hines asked for a cap. I applaud you. You did put a cap in there of $2 million. They're losing money on electric, and you're going to ask them for up to $2 million. March 17th, showing changes to add the cap. Addresses nothing else from the previous concerns. March 21st, an email from Jeff is the one I read to you earlier, which shows no consensus even to this day. But for some reason, some of you are up there still thinking there's a consensus. And it's interesting that we've been at this since an admin fee, and now here we are. We had one board member lose his position over this. Make no mistake about it. He lost it over this. But we still say there's consensus. I know the ordinance says that they can't raise their rates because of what you're about to do. But that's a pipe dream. I've interviewed the general manager and the controller. And both of them have told me, and they've told you, and told you, Mr. Mayor, already, we talked about that, that they will have to raise rates because of this ordinance. no matter what that silly thing says. If they don't, what world do we live in where we say, we're going to take up to $500,000 from you, and you can't raise rates? They're going to go broke. Doesn't matter what your ordinance says. They either raise rates or they go broke. And if I have to depose them with legal counsel to get them to say that, I'm telling you right now before you vote on it, they've already mentioned that they're going to raise rates, and they're going to raise them even more because of this ordinance. So that
makes sense. I'm going to comment for a minute because I'm going to read to you from Marshall Democrat News on April 30th, 2020.
Okay.
So a year and a half ago. This is when we decreased rates by 7.5% in the city.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to make this recommendation because of decisions that have been made over the past decade by MMU Management, the Board of Public Works, and the Missouri Energy Pool, said Bergstrom. Additionally, MMU staff have worked to improve efficiencies while maintaining improving reliability. All these factors combined have put us in a position to provide needed relief to our customers during what is for many a difficult time.
Absolutely.
That was April 2020. So you're telling me in less than, what, a year and a half, they're going broke in their electrical department, yet these were the things that were said by Mr. Bergstrom.
Okay. Yeah, that was a year ago. I agree with that. And I've talked to the board since then, actually just this morning or yesterday, I can't remember. And they said that needs to go away because they're losing money.
So over a decade of all these improvements that they've made, yet they blew it in a year.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Do you know my
natural... Is that probably because of buying, you know, recommending to buy electric cars for the...
Well, I don't know.
You know,
or
buying trucks every time they turn around.
I'll tell you what, I know that obviously we know what this economy is going through and inflation and all these things. My gas bill tripled, okay? So we know this stuff's going up, and they've done a great job. MPUA even said so. To what you're saying, MPUA came here and said, look, these guys are doing awesome. But my point that I'm making is, it's not going so awesome anymore, and we can get into that. And here's why they're going to have to get rid of that 7%. Because you're about to pass an ordinance when they ask for more time. ARPA funds are trying to come in for our new sewer water treatment plant, correct? All right, okay. One of the council members up here made a comment about how much money they have in reserves. I believe it was in the range of $30 million. Not true, okay? They have about as much money in there as it's going to take to fix the sewer treatment plant. If they don't get the ARPA funds, that takes pretty much all their reserve. I think it leaves them with about $3 million.
So again, why in the world would we spend $3 million on the county for broadband internet knowing we have a wastewater treatment plant that needed repair?
Because it's a moneymaker. It's called infrastructure. And they're going to make a lot of money from the internet department to help offset these things, okay?
That money will not come back for 10 plus years.
Well, I can have Mr. Bersano come up here and disagree with that if you'd like. He's the controller. But I'm telling you,
I've already read the information he's provided, which said that they'd receive it back in 10 years.
Okay.
And that's after it has been installed. And they've already said that they're behind on installation.
Sure.
But again, it goes back to, if we knew we had a wastewater treatment plant, why spend the $3 million?
No, we have the money for that.
You just said we were...
No, I didn't. I said we don't have $30 million. I said they have about $12 million. It's going to take $9 million for the water treatment plant. We have the money for it. My point is, if we don't get the ARPA funds, we don't have the money to start shelling out to you guys for economic development. And it hurts the financial stability. Like Mr. Bergstrom said, we want to help you, but we need to make sure that we are good at our house. That's why he kept asking over and over and over. This should be based on the year we have and the things that happen that we need to take care of, instead of just a blanket 0.5%, doesn't matter what year you've had. That's all I'm saying. And besides that, what is a general return on investment? How long does it take to get a return on investment usually? When you start a business or you put in infrastructure, it takes a minimum of 7 years to expect a return on investment. Sandy, is that right? She would know. So 10 years isn't that far-fetched.
You've exceeded your time limit considerably, and we're not going to continue to argue about this. So yes, you have.
So
can you please sit down?
And I see my time to him.
You can have my time.
He can't have your time. You can.
They can yield their time to me. It's standard procedure. They can yield their time to me. I appreciate that about it.
Mr. Green?
Yes, sir.
You have exceeded your time limit.
I know, they yielded me their time.
We have council business we plan on continuing to do.
They yielded me their time, Mr. Mayor. You guys want to come up here and give your address to make it official?
Wick Jacoby, 1013 Sandy Lane.
Thank you. I guess I would also say, in the years that you've been up here, has anybody exceeded 3 minutes? Did you make them sit down? I mean, I don't want to play games tonight. This just needs to be said before you vote on something as massive as this. Okay, and I'm really sorry that I have a lot of my time for back and forth, so there's some of that. And now I'm taking more, okay? But Mr. Tumble, I do want to congratulate you because you said in the paper, I will say that it says paying to the general fund and the city for economic development. Thank you for saying that. It does say general fund. It says here you know that you have an economic development account and that it's not a general fund, and that's where the economic development money goes. So I've heard some conflicting things when I've been asking these last 2 weeks. Does the city have a specific economic development fund account?
Yes.
Somebody said yes. I don't know where it came from. You do? Okay. Thank you for saying that. So why, after 6 months, does it still say general fund for economic development? I mentioned last 2 weeks ago that it goes against the Hancock Amendment to put money in the general fund, and I'll get to that in just a second. That's more for Josh Taylor here, but after 6 months of deliberating, we're still talking about putting money into the general fund when we have an economic development fund. How many of you have read the Lebanon Ordinance? I know Kirk has, I'm sure. All of you have? Do you know the striking difference between the Lebanon Ordinance and ours? Where does theirs say the money goes? Okay, well, let me fish through my papers here. I've got it. There it is from Lebanon. Section 26148, paragraph B. The city council shall have the authority to transfer the economic development fund to the economic development fund up to 1%, which is where that came from I talked about earlier, plus any additional amount deemed appropriate by the council from the general fund to the economic development fund. That's a striking difference, and that's why I brought it up 2 weeks ago. But here we are, nobody seemed to care. Do you know why Lebanon created an economic development fund? Anybody know the answer to that one? No? Again, I've been at this 2 weeks. Y'all have been at this for 6 months. They created the fund because they don't have an MSDC like we do. They don't have an economic development fund in the county. And they had a business that wanted to expand, and the business asked them to add to their building. So they created an economic development fund. That was back in 2007 or 2008. You know they don't use that anymore? Why? Because they don't need it. But we cherry-picked and found this because it made a nice little package for us. What is MSDC for, if not for economic development? Isn't that what they're for? They're for economic development. And we have them. Why aren't we working with them instead of trying to compete with them? Okay? Secondly, you're asking for money for economic development. Doesn't MMU already pay into the MSDC funds for economic development? I'll go ahead and answer that for you. They do, and have for a long time. So they're already involved in economic development, and they do a lot more too. So we want to be like Lebanon, but there's some major discrepancies between us and Lebanon. So in the end, the admin fee didn't work, but here we are. And they don't have an MSDC. And I have an email from Lebanon saying they don't use it anymore. And they haven't for years, by the way, okay? Ms. Wright, you inquired about the legal stuff that I brought up 2 weeks ago. Thank you for asking. You also asked in the February 3rd meeting why the funds for economic development couldn't stay in an account with MMU. Like Mr. Bertram said in the email, it should stay over here. You stated you're all on the same team. Why can't we have an account where the city would come from them when the need arises? Mr. Aarons mentioned that the city has done that in the past and didn't go well. You also stated in that meeting, Mr. Aaron, that the city has set aside funds and tried to work with MMU, but that hasn't worked. I've interviewed people at MMU about this, and no one knows what that's referring to. So I guess if you want to explain that or not, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm just saying this is part of my research. Do you want to explain what you're talking about?
Yeah, I sure will. Okay. So this has been going on longer than 6 months. It's actually went back to 2020 when the Board of Public Works and the City Council at the time, the mayor, had a multi-million dollar agreement to build and growth in our community. That's all it's been about. It's always been about growth and progress because this town hasn't grown in 30 plus years.
Right.
We agreed on a number. We agreed on economic development because at the end of the day, no one's ever been able to argue logically when the city grows, when the community grows, MMU grows. The reverse is just not true, not always. So we had an agreement. They backed away from said agreement because they want us to take away a setting ordinance that gives four appointed people, the ability to raise rates for 13,000 people. We saw that as a loophole. That's wrong. Our whole government set up on checks and balances. I'm not against raising rates. We just did that for the sewer, and it was reasonable, defendable, and needed. And we would do it again. Certainly whoever was here could do it again. They pulled away from that agreement because they wanted all the power within three people, 3-0 vote or 2-1 vote, to raise rates, unless you scare everybody.
Okay.
And that's why it hasn't gone well. So when you talk about 6 months, we've been talking about this for years, Drew.
Sure.
And they've been pulling away from it. And the whole process has always been growth and progress.
Well, I'm glad you explained that. Couple things to that. Number one, this is in context talking about money that they've held in collaboration with the city that you came to ask for and you didn't get. So that's why I wanted to ask for your explanation, because I didn't want to assume that so that hasn't happened is what I'm getting at. It wasn't until most recently that the city council took over rate changes for the utility board. It hasn't always been that way. And to that I would say the reason is because a lot of cities don't have a board. They don't have a utility board, and they don't have people that are already appointed, and they don't have their own secretaries and administration, so to your point, you elected them or appointed them to do a job. I would trust them when they say they need to do the job. So that's just part of what I'd say back to that. But what I'm saying is in context.
And I think just like the sewer race, it was reasonable, defendable, and we passed it unanimously. But for three appointed people to have that ability, and that's where they still want that. The majority of the board, not everyone, I shouldn't say that.
Sure.
That is not right, and I would defend that from this day until I die. And whether I'm a citizen or here, it's not right.
Okay. No, I'm not going to certainly argue that tonight. I'm just saying that it hasn't always been that way. The MMU board has, for most intents and purposes, set their own rates and done their own things without council approval. Is that correct? Jeff, does he know?
Prior to 2017, yes.
Prior to 2017. So recently, that's changed in 5 years. Okay.
Well, Mr. They also lower rates.
What's that?
They also have lower rates, those same four people.
Sure.
Have lower rates.
Sure. Okay. Well, Ms. Wright, you made that comment. So, Mr. Taylor, I turn to you now because you made the last comment. This is in no specific order because I wrote the paper wrote. But the ordinance, you said, was based on an ordinance from Lebanon. And they have their own public works department. They don't have a board and stuff, like I said, but you believe this to be permissible. Have you read the ordinance, Mr. Taylor, from 11? You have read that. And you don't have a problem with it saying general fund versus economic development fund?
We've looked at that issue that's been raised by council members. And as I said before at the last meeting, and I'll say it again, we do believe now, if there's something else that's out there that you think is worthy of consideration, we'd be happy to take a look at that.
Have you seen the Supreme Court brief concerning cases involved in the Hancock memo?
Supreme Court briefs or decisions?
It's a brief of the Attorney General and the State Auditor for the Supreme Court of Missouri.
I'm not sure what case that is for.
There's a bunch of different cases in here. It's just in general. It talks about the Hancock Amendment. So I'm guessing you'd say you're not familiar with it at this time.
If there's a decision that's been made, but what case are you referring
to? They're not really, they don't do a decision in this amicus brief. They talk about the different cases and why Hancock Amendment does apply or doesn't apply, just in generalities. There's not really, the circuit court did the ruling, and the Supreme Court took it up and did an amicus brief on these cases.
Without seeing the brief,
sure.
I don't know what case it is. I couldn't tell you what
I
reviewed.
I'm going to read you some things from here, and then I'll get your opinion from that. So you've read the ordinance. You've definitely looked at the Hancock Amendment. You're familiar with the Hancock Amendment, I presume. On page 6 of this briefing, and I'm happy to give you this one, Ben. It's talking about actual cost of providing services. It talks about whatever cases in that charge. It says charges that are imposed in order to gather revenue for such general fund expenses cannot be characterized as user fees under the approach. Which I said, the approach for this was providing the services. So
that would be fees towards citizens,
right
towards a department.
So anytime, it goes on to talk about any time that you raise rates, and I've already said they're going to be under oath saying you have to raise rates because of this ordinance, that any time the fee, levy, tax, or anything gets higher, the Hancock Amendment applies.
Okay. So Drew, in the ordinance, as written, section 5 says, increase to rates. The Board of Public Works shall not increase rates or add an additional user fee to offset any transfer authorized by this ordinance. So are you telling me that the Board of Public Works is going to stand up and tell me that they're going to violate the Hancock Amendment?
No, I'm telling you, you are, because they've already told you they're going to have to raise rates. I know you were here a minute ago when I went over this, but they've already said they're going to have to raise fees or rates to pay for this, which will violate the Hancock Amendment. Either that or go broke. They're really put in a position they don't have a choice. So if you want me to have them stand up and say that they will raise rates, I can do that. I guess at one of these times, if one of you want to stand up and say you have to raise rates, Tony or Jeff or...
When it was the admin fee, it was going to result in a rate increase, okay, regardless of whatever, however they were going to do.
Okay.
If applied to every fund we have, the enterprise fund, every department supports itself. If you apply that 1.5% fee to the sewer department, regardless of whether or not we receive ARPA funds, the rate increase we've recently passed did not account for that. It will, regardless of what's on paper, Leon, a 1.5% from a department that is already broke, when another rate increase comes up, it is going to have to be added to it. I mean, it is what it is. It won't maybe affect every department, but will have an effect at some point on rates.
Yeah, and one of the things NTUA said when they were here was that there's so much intermingling between these departments that it's hard to get clear lines about which ones can stand and which ones can't. And that's why they gave the recommendations, to make sure each one will stand on their own, which they're trying to do. And Jeff's email, Lucy, they need more time to do that, to make sure they're solvent before they start doing money, 0.5% guaranteed, not based on how they're doing, over to them. And this was based on the cost of providing service, to your point. So anytime you apply funds that are more than the cost of doing business, Hancock Amendment applies, it goes on to say. And I'm going to get to that, because that was page 6. You already answered that question about they'll be forced to increase rates.
So can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
So they're in trouble now, right? So should we expect a rate increase anyway?
It's my understanding.
And then we would get another rate increase because of the funds that we would need for economic development. Is that what
right.
you're telling me?
So there was the 7% that Mr. Thompson talked about that the board members were saying is probably going to have to go away. To your question specifically, what I was told by the controller is that they were already looking at a rate increase, which y'all would have to approve since 2017. But since this is happening tonight, he said that because of this, they'll be higher than they would have had to be.
Okay.
Good question.
And just to clarify here, that it depends on the ARPA funds
there you go.
We discussed.
Yeah.
We don't know how much ARPA funding we're going to get in. And I think it's been communicated in the past, if we don't receive the ARPA funds, we are looking at another sewer rate increase.
Mm-hmm.
for that project down there. Now, we didn't include, we didn't know at the time that there'd be 0.5%, up to 1.5% included into the sewer department. So if we do a rate increase, it's going to have to be a factor included in that.
And that, and the ARPA funds, you'll know by June or July?
July.
So again, that's why they're asking for more time.
And Drew, just to answer Pete's question, to kind of go back, Leon, we did do the 7.5% rate increase in the electric department.
Correct.
We had budgeted $6 million for our plant demo, and that came in at $3 million. And we knew when we passed that, that we would be trickling funds back to the ratepayers. So that, that was by design. We're hoping that the Grain Belt project, I recently testified at the Senate in opposition to a bill that could block that. If that times out right, our reserves could be brought back to that level without a rate increase. So it's a little bit early to talk about a rate increase in electric. We are dropping the reserves. Those are going back to the customers. And we're fine with that. We knew that going in. We can sustain that for some time, but at some point, unless we get some relief, I know we got transformer prices today. They've doubled, in some cases tripled. Water mains doubled. I mean, we're seeing the same price increases everybody else is seeing. ARPA funds are a big part of this, but I just wanted to, I don't want rate increases falling around. We do our best to prevent those, but that's the situation right now in the electric department, and I think that's something that, that we can sustain for a while longer before we have that discussion.
To your point, just to be a clear statement, it's just too early in the game right now to make sure you can be solvent and have this on top of it with stuff out there. You want to make sure about the financial stability of MMU when the ARPA funds, things, prices,
that, that, that's correct, yeah. And I think, you know, the board and I have discussed, we want to help. We're the local utility, sure. But we have a job to do before that, and that's right. To make sure what we're employed to do and what's in my job description, the financial health of the utility.
And as the ordinance sits today, you guys don't agree with it. You want it written differently.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And so what I read a minute ago about charges that are imposed in order to gather revenue for such general
funds. So why not come answer us from February, Jeff? I mean, this has been sitting in front of you guys since February. And the same thing's been coming up, that MPUA, but it didn't change the mission of the utilities. It didn't change the ownership of the utilities. It really was, I mean, there's recommendations in there of things that, you know, the recommendations to clean things up. But again, we're talking about this.
I included an email on February, or March to JD.
But there's no recommendations. The only recommendation is, let's not do anything.
There are.
I think there were specific recommendations.
I read those just a second.
Based on the peer review.
I read all those recommendations.
They were in that email.
waiting for review from MPUA. We'd like to know what a counter to be put in, which, not going there again. He would like a formula based on the type of financial year MMU had. Totally ignored that in the ordinance. I mean, there's a lot of recommendations, and I've got a lot of emails back and forth from Mayor Sweets and him and you. I've got all the emails here. They have been. That's kind of the point. Nobody seems to be listening. And
well, 0.5% is going to be a percent of
the general revenue
of what they do. It's going to be a percent of performance.
It's a general revenue, not like a metered thing. And Jeff would have to get up and talk more specifically about this. I'm saying, but it's 0.5% no matter how good they do. That's what Jeff is saying. I would rather it not be tied to an absolute percentage. He's asked that it be tied to some metered value or look at how we do. Because what if a tornado comes through, like I said earlier, and well, it's only 0.5%, it's just 120,000. Okay, well, we got 3 million in poles we got to put up. We don't have the money to give to you. Well, it doesn't really matter. The ordinance says you have to give us 0.5%. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Burstrom? Stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, if it's economic development, I think, you know, in the past, the board had been approached for economic development. I think Charlie and Ron came and talked to the board at some point about a grocery store. I think the board agreed to that. But that's, you know, that's based on the board makes that decision based on the financial conditions of the utility. And to just make a broad assumption that that's always going to be good may not be correct. I think we had an issue last February where we could have lost, you know, had our generator not started and ran close to $2 million. Fortunate for us, our staff was able to run that and mitigate that cost.
So that's what, in his email on March 21st, he literally asked for certain things to change. And in the board meeting last Thursday that many of you were at, Mr. Bergstrom stood up and made these same comments. I think he actually used the verbiage, "I don't guess they're going to listen to us." So, this is talking about fees for service and charges that are imposed in order to gain revenue for such general fund cannot be characterized as user fees under this approach, talking about if you get more money than what it costs to run, the Hancock Amendment applies. Okay, to the extent requiring a service from a local political subdivision is truly voluntary, meaning that we have a choice, which we don't, we have to use our service from MDMU, if it's not voluntary, the charge for a user fee, okay, you can't do that. And it's not even that, it's just taxes, levies, those kind of things, okay? There's a lot in here, so I'm gonna try to make it. I like the back and forth, it's good to see that. And it goes on to talk about when a purchaser has a real choice, they talk about ambulance district, and these are things Mr. Taylor can go through. Kind of losing my place here, I'm sorry.
Jeff, can I ask a question while he's just on pause for a moment?
Yes.
At one point, did they not discuss that there would be a cap? And I know the cap says it's $2 million, but you can't get a 0.5% of nothing. If MMU has nothing, how do we get money? So it's not like they were asking. You can't get something for nothing. If you don't have it, there's no way to get the money to give the 0.5%. I think the council understands that. If you don't have it, we can't get it.
But the whole point
of this whole thing is we have everybody so upset about this money coming from one fund to the council. It's like we're beating each other up. We're brothers and sisters in this place. Right. We're not brothers and sisters, we're only one marshal.
Right.
And we need to sit down and figure this out. Mm-hmm. We're going over bits and pieces and breaking everything down that people said. Well, what we really need to do, maybe we do need to go back down and sit down and talk with you guys. We understand if there is no money, you can't get money.
Right. I agree, Fisa. And I just want to do it responsibly. My job.
I understand. And we're all the city. We're all,
exactly.
I know that you're MMU, but we're all the city of Marshall.
Absolutely.
We don't want rates to go up because we have people out there who can't afford those things.
And fees, I think you hit the nail on the head. This actually happened with the Parks Department. They paid us $100,000 per year when we gave them a loan a while back. There was a year they couldn't afford it. We didn't accept it. We pushed
right.
it out. Same type of thing.
Right.
We're reasonable people. But at the same time, it's about growth and progress, and we have to build this community. We haven't grown in 40 years. Something has to change.
So let's make the ordinance say that, because right now it doesn't. It says you pay us 0.5% regardless, and I agree. 0.5% of nothing is nothing, but the problem is it's not tied to profits. It's tied to general revenue. MMU is never going to have no revenue.
Right.
So that's what they're asking. Like, let's tie it to something else other than our general revenue that's always going to come in.
Then what's the idea?
Well, you'll have to sit
yeah.
down and talk to him.
Absolutely, because
yeah.
I have sat down, and I have talked with Mr. Burke. I have talked with Jim, because that's already with you. And I have talked to a lot of people. But, you know, we have to quit coming here. We're going to have to find some peace. This is one town, folks. We can't come here, and the only time we see people sitting out here is when it's affecting you. We just had an election, and I know I'm going on a tantrum, but my ward showed up, and there are so many people that did not vote, and I just knew they were going to vote this time. Folks, we got to quit hammering over money and figure out how to make Marshall grow. That is it, actually the thing. When we have houses for people, and we have jobs for people, we have entertainment for people, but we can't get that without money. So we are going to have to sit down and be one team, and we're going to have an economic development. And as soon as everybody decides that that's what we're going to do, we'll quit coming here and having arguments and people saying you can't speak your piece. Okay? So let's figure it out right now. Let's do the work, and let's sit down with each other and talk to each other. I'm sorry I'm going on a tangent because I won't be here. This is my last meeting, and I'm sorry that I'm saying it now. I wish I would have said it a long time ago so people would have went to vote. But it's on you folks, everybody, every day. There should not be a Monday where there's a city council meeting where there's the same people that's sitting in here every week, every Monday.
Drew, the level of frustration that I have is that, you know, the half a percent is $120,000, $150,000,
right,
as we said.
Right.
You know, and the 1%, you know, we have a bad year, we can say, hey, we don't need it.
You can't.
And we can put that.
But the problem with that is that they've said you don't need board approval for that extra 1%. You can just call it due any time. And you can say that we won't do it. I mean, time will tell. And that's, I'm glad you're saying that. But I'm saying we don't know for sure. Because
so
the ordinance doesn't.
So how do you get 1% more of nothing?
No.
Can't get a half a percent of it.
It's 1% of the general revenue.
So it'll never be nothing. I understand
that's
that.
Their
but if you're telling me that they're going to use that money for something else, because they're going to have to use it. If we have a catastrophic accident, that money's going to have to go somewhere.
That's right.
And they're going to have to pay for that.
I mean,
so that means it's going to be nothing.
If we have a catastrophic event, I mean, we're still talking. I mean, the police department, the fire department,
absolutely,
city hall, everything's going to be affected.
Right.
It's not just going to be telephone poles that we're worried about. We're going to be worried about everything.
I get that. I don't want to get into a debate about the half percent or 1%. What I'm saying is they've expressed their concerns to you about how it's worded, and after 6 months, it's still worded the same. That's all I'm really getting at.
Fiza, if I could answer your question. Typically, historically, our utilities have 3 to 6 months reserves is what's the general practice. We've gotten some information from the American Public Power Association, the peer review general manager from Carthage. They have a formula that says what we need to have. If we have a good year and something exceeds that amount, we could put it into an economic development fund. That's what I would like to see. I agree we need to grow. But I just want to do it responsibly and because utilities are a lot more complicated than people think. It's not your average everyday business. There's weather, there's energy markets, there's lots of things that go into effect. And if you're not careful, you can dig a hole pretty quick. And I think we've got some good information and feedback from the peer review that can establish what those amounts are. Once those are established, I think there's opportunities that we can do to help the city, but not negatively affect the utilities, the rates, and its customers. That's where I'm coming from. And that would be my recommendation. That was a recommendation of the peer review, and I think that is the feedback I've gotten from the Board of Public Works members. They agree they want to help, but they want to do it in a responsible manner that works for everybody. And I think that's all they're asking. And I'm behind it 100%. I'm on MSDC. We work hard in that group to try to get the economic development. That has to take place. We need to work with the county, the MSDC, the council, the utilities, everybody. Everybody in Marshall that has anything to do in Marshall needs to pull on the rope the same direction, or we're not going to get anywhere. I absolutely agree with that.
Thank you.
I know we've kind of gone off on tangents here. I literally have 4 paragraphs to read and I'm done. But Mr. Taylor, we were talking about going into the general fund, which is where I started talking about how this brief talks about this. So it's talking about the ambulance district and how it separates from utilities because they are fee for service. And it says, but municipal utilities are quite different from ambulance and other single purpose districts. Legally and practically, a municipality can make a profit from the utility that can be used to fund general government activities. And it says the city of Herman, for example, operates a utility gives city full access to their funds, and it's undisputed that the city receives more utility payments than it costs to provide utility services, and that the city has long used those tax funds, or those excessive funds, not tax funds, to cover the non-utility expenses. This is not unique. Other cities have similar utilities and similarly use funds from utility payments to cover non-utility expenses. In fact, the state auditor found at least 7 instances in which the city charges more than the actual cost of utility and regularly transfers the excess to the general fund to pay for their city expenditures. So we think, well, who cares then? Who cares how it's written? Well, because they go on to say, the fact of transfers of funds from utility collections to other parts of city government is enough to implicate the Hancock Amendment. So the auditor has appropriately urged many of those cities to consult with legal counsel to determine the funding of transfers in compliance with Article 10, Section 22. That's where it turns to you. You need to look at Article 10, Section 22 of the Missouri State Constitution.
I'm quoting from the top of my head. But
No, that's fine. I don't expect you to. I'm just saying that we need to make sure that we're not, because the Supreme Court is saying that anytime you do this and put it in a general fund, it implicates the Hancock Amendment. And it gets a little more stringent here in a minute. Charges that are included in utility bills but do not directly reflect costs are the equivalent of taxes Missouri allows cities to impose on utility services. So here they're calling anything that's more than what it costs to do the service is an actual tax.
Hey, Mr. Green.
Yes.
Hold up just a minute. Jeff and Tony, what is the solution? What do y'all want? I don't want to be having this conversation for next year. I think we're all in agreement that we want to grow this town and economic development's where it's at. I spoke with Mr. Frick, I've talked to Wick. We're all in that agreement. I understand that y'all want to help out. I just want to get something done. I want to grow Marshall. What is the solution? And how long are we talking? A year is too long. We could play this game for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Okay. What is it, Jeff, what is the solution?
I think if you give us a couple months, and I'll defer to Tony because a lot of that's financial work. I know he's already started on the reserve policy that we have the model for. That is the first step. The insurance reserves, we have met with our insurance carrier to review our current policies. We're in the process of evaluating our insurance reserves. Are they adequate?
Hang on a minute. I understand that.
A couple months.
Tony, what could y'all help out with? I understand we'll be throwing this pilot stuff around and all that. What can we do, or what can you give us to help out? What would be a good, efficient number where we don't have to come ask the board? Because there's a lot of stuff I know Charlie at one time. If we have a grocery store or something like that, we don't have the money just to, you know what I mean? And we can't wait. There's a lot of stuff that has to be moved on pretty quick, and we can't wait for board approval.
Well, I think our role as a utility is, if there's a business coming to town, then we are going to put in infrastructure, discounted rates. We're going to do all that based on what the board decides. I personally, talking to Jeff, it needs to be tied to the financials for the year. It's evaluated, it's looked at. If we had a good year, like Jeff said, maybe we could do more than 1.5%, you know, but it has to be looked at each year. It can't just be a set this amount every year. I think it needs to be evaluated every year and looked at, and it's adjusted every year. I think the cash reserve policy we're looking at saying that's adjusted every year based on capital projects, costs, the year we had, weather. So I think I'm working on now, it's probably gonna be a couple months before I can come up to a solid number.
Yeah, Craig, to answer your question, I think, yeah, a couple months to determine what
policy
as far as putting back any funds. If there's something in the short term, I think, you know, Charlie and Ron went to the board. There was a grocery store. It was something that needed.
What we did was we came to the board. We were trying to recruit. We've been trying to recruit grocery stores forever. And coming up with an economic package that we can offer not one store, but any store that would be interested in coming to Marshall, which was mainly grocery stores are high electricity users, and it was to get them discounted electricity for a certain period of time, you know, maybe a year, whatever, to help them defray some of that initial cost of renovating a grocery store, building a, I mean, you're putting in freezers, you're talking about inventory. It was just to help them get started. And then once they got started, then after a year, and I forgot the exact length of time, that would go away, and then they'd just be back to the normal rate like everyone else. It's just to help to attract them to Marshall and get them started.
Charlie, what was the amount we determined, you remember?
Well,
70, 75?
I think it was 80. 80 is what jumped to my mind.
That's
the and the board didn't blink an eye when you came and asked for that.
No. It worked real well. I don't remember the exact figure. It's been a long time ago. One other thing I wanted to ask, too. A lot of this really began back at a time when we were hearing that the utilities had really these massive reserves. And you had the money that was just kind of sitting there. Now, that's been years ago when that came up. But now all of a sudden the reserves are not there anymore.
Well, we have money in reserves. I think the biggest...
I know you have to have those.
We have to have. You can't insure. I mean, there's just things we have and you can't buy insurance for. Right? And millions and millions of dollars worth of those type of assets. The insurance reserve we have, I think, is a good place to look at. I think, you know, depending on how that, my initial feeling is, there's probably some initial funds. We could drop that amount to get something started. But I think if there's if we could have 2 or 3 months to look at some of these recommendations that the peer review has brought forward to come up with a formula to determine what we can put in that every year, I think there's an opportunity to potentially have something as a starter there. I'm not going to go as to what, you know, Tony and I have had some conversations. We feel like that we need some more information before we make that decision. But I think in the time being, you know, until that couple months is up, if there's something that comes up, I'd say ask the board. And I think they would be, I've been in utilities quite a while, and I've seen the board do a lot of things to help this community, you know, with the infrastructure, lowering infrastructure costs for projects at the college. Other different organizations that contribute to the community economically and otherwise, and the board has always been able to recognize that and make those decisions. So, and I applaud them for that. The board is, as long as I've been there, has always been very community oriented,
and I know
very willing to.
This economic climate is devastating everybody,
no matter
what you're doing, when you're
absolutely.
Doing it, or how you're doing it. And hopefully, someday. We'll get back to whatever normal is. And I know it's hard to predict in these kinds of, you know, we've been talking a long time before, now we've got this mess on top of us, which throws a wrench into it also. So,
right.
So if the board acquiesced and they said until July, you had until July, could there be a set time? Could that be the end of all this and you knew how everything was going to go, how much, or if any? We could work everything out in July. We could be done with this.
I think depending on ARPA would be a huge factor. So
we know how ARPA.
Well, I think we could do our funds and insurance and everything.
Correct.
Obviously, ARPA would have an effect on reserves, but I think we could have the mechanics of it figured out by then.
Right.
Thank you.
I think I could give you my word on that, and the board.
Okay.
If I didn't, the board would probably. I would probably be in trouble.
Well, say if you don't, I'll be reading those minutes from up there. I'm going to hold you to that.
No, absolutely. I think that, you know, if that's the commitment you need from us to know that we want to help.
We don't want to do this. We've been doing this, like you said, for years. It's time that we made a decision how we were going to do this. And this needs to end because it doesn't do anything to tear us apart. We need to work together. You're saying it's July. I think that's a good deal.
Okay. Thank you all for your questions. That's one aspect of it.
I like to say something. Yes, I've been involved with the council up here, and I understand the frustration, basically, of just the time frame between meetings. Sometimes we ask for a meeting, it'd be 10 weeks. Sometimes it'd be 6 weeks. Can you guys commit to once a month, the first of each month from going forward, if this council decides on something, for the board and the general chairman and Tony sit down with this council monthly with reports, what's going on with your MPUA?
I've been
and with the plans to try to come up with this economic fund. I mean, it's keep it on schedule every
month. Absolutely. And I don't know if you get board packets due when you come to the meetings, but actually those recommendations from MPUA are going to be in every board packet from this point forward with updates.
And if you need a meeting once a month.
If you would like to meet on top of that, I have no objections to that. I think that if that makes this happen, then I'm in favor of it.
Like I said, one of the things that we've always been frustrated with is the time frame between meetings to get anything accomplished. It just drags out.
Yeah.
And Kurt and Leon both, that's one of the biggest complaints they've had. They don't get the information in a timely manner where they can work with anything, and we're not getting it. And if you guys would commit, and the same thing when I was sitting in the council seat, we have to have a schedule, and everybody stick to it and be there every month with your reports from each other to put them together to work for this city.
Great points.
Amen. So, doing like a full board.
I love the back and forth. I feel like I've been trying to talk to Josh, Mr. Taylor here. I feel like I got warmer. Anyway, so that is one issue, is how it's set, the money, how much, blah, 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 whether it hurts them or not. Okay, that's the one issue you just figured out. That's awesome. The second one was how it's designed to go into the general fund, which I've been talking about from the Supreme Court of Missouri's brief. So at the end, the paragraph, I skipped a bunch now, we've been over. Anyway, it says, but the undisputed facts before the circuit court show that funds from the utility charges are being transferred into the general revenue, and that the amount of those transfers has grown, which the amount of the transfer, it's going to grow. The stuff that goes into the general fund will grow if you pass this ordinance. That is enough to implicate the Hancock Amendment and to require a more detailed analysis than that given by the circuit court in this case. Here, the Hancock Amendment does not allow the city to take advantage of its position as the exclusive provider of an essential service to circumvent the Hancock Amendment by raising rates for that service to fund government generally, even when the city sees shortfalls in sales or property tax revenue. So, I don't think anybody has any questions for me. Mr. Taylor, you're the last one I left out. Do you have anything?
Never. I'll be the case.
All right.